Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. I said, praise the Lord, Bridgeway. One more time for the Holy Spirit. At OMR, in your house, and in Columbia, praise the Lord, Bridgeway. Let's give God a great big hand because he's God all by himself. None above him, no one beside him. He's God all by himself. He deserves our worship and our praise if he never did one other thing for us. Amen. Well, today I want to greet you in the name of Jesus. And I'm kicking off a brand new 3-week series called Distinguished, The Thin Line Between Good and Evil. Today's title is Seeing Through People. Next week, Seeing Through Your Problems. And the following week, Seeing Through to Your Purpose. Then, believe it or not, we'll be at the end of the year wrap-up, which is the second Sunday in June, June 11th. Can you believe we are that far into the year? We're down to the home stretch of our Make It Better ministry year. Can you believe that? It's come so very quickly, and I can't wait to celebrate with you there at our end of the year wrap-up. By the way, let me give you put out some thank yous and some shout-outs. I want to celebrate and thank Pastor Eli Hernandez for his message. Minister Lisa Bryson for her Mother's Day message. And right there at Owens Mills, Reisterstown, First Lady Amber Anderson for her message. All of y'all just rocked it, and I am just so pleased with the diet you get spiritually from the stage at Bridgeway Community Church. In my opening comments as well, I want to remind you that it's this Wednesday night that we're having our book signing launching event right here at the Columbia campus at 6 p.m. So we invite you all to come. It is a free book signing. It's a free opportunity to network and hang out. People from the church, people from the radio, anybody you want to bring with you. We're going to talk about Gracism, do a little Q&A, going to have some refreshments, some live music. So come on out. I'd love to just hang with you and get to know you a bit. And Pastor David Heiliger, who helped me with the brand new edition, will be with me then. And something else that's new regarding the new book, Gracism, The Art of Inclusion, the revised and expanded edition, is that we just got word at the end of the week here, I think on Friday, that YouVersion, the app, I don't know if anybody of you use that Bible app, but now all you have to do is search Gracism and you'll get a 5-day devotional. So you can start that today. And thank you, Pastor Will Eastham, for organizing those devotionals from the Gracism material. So make sure you check that out. All right, are you ready to get into this word?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to be talking about the spirit of discernment and distinguishing between what's real and what's not. Heavenly Father, right now, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through this teaching. And while it's a lot of material, I just pray, God, that you allow your children to keep what they need. And then whatever they don't need, Lord, bring it to their memory when they do need it. For it is in the name of Jesus I pray. Together everyone said, amen and amen. I received a phone call from Minister Lisa Bryson a couple of weeks ago during the 7 a.m. hour. Picked up the phone while I was in my study. I said, hello. And we chatted. I said, it's so good to hear from you this early in the morning. How are you? And she said, how are you, Pastor? I said, oh, I'm alive and grateful. I'm doing well. And then at some point after the niceties, I asked that question that many of you would probably ask. I said, so tell me, why are you calling? She said, well, Pastor, you asked me to call you. I said, I always love talking to you, but no, I didn't ask you to call me. She goes, yeah, you emailed me and asked me to call. I said, Lisa, can you go ahead and forward me that email? She did, and sure enough, it was a hack. Ever happened to you? The email had my name on it, but if you look closely at the email address, you could see that the email was not originating from my true address. Luckily, Minister Lisa and I caught it. But you need to know there are a lot of things that come our way that look like they're from God. but they aren't originating from him. They may have his name on it, but he's not in it. And my name was on the email, but it wasn't from me. A few people that day emailed me and alerted me and said, "Pastor, I think your email was hacked." Friends, we are living in a day of fake and phony deception, and our need to be discerning is greater now more than ever. So I want to talk to you about the spirit of discernment. By the way, how many of you have heard of something called AI? Wave to me, AI. Wave to me, Owensmill. AI, you've heard of it. It stands for what? Artificial intelligence, or Gen AI, generative artificial intelligence. And in case you haven't heard of it, I want you to allow me to read you a definition of both, this idea of AI from a technological standpoint. And if you haven't heard of it, you will. And the definition that I'm about to read is a bit long. So please put on your thinking caps and stick with me if you can through the technological, definition that we have going on here. I quote, AI refers to the development of computer systems that can perform tasks that would typically require human intelligence. Generative artificial intelligence refers to a subset of AI technologies and algorithms that have the ability to generate or create new content, such as images, texts, and even music. One significant use of generative AI is in creative fields such as art and design. Artists and designers can leverage generative AI tools to produce unique and visually stunning pieces of artwork and generative novels for creative projects. In the entertainment industry, generative AI is being utilized to enhance special effects, create realistic computer-generated characters, and generate virtual environments. However, there are potential concerns and drawbacks associated with generative AI. Misuse of the technology could lead to the creation of deep fake videos or deceptive content, posing risks to the integrity of information and potentially enabling malicious activities. Privacy concerns may arise when generative AI is used to create realistic synthetic identities or mimic individuals without their consent. Guess who wrote that? Guess who wrote what I just read to you? You got it. These are not the artificial intelligent people. These are the real intelligent people who give you that answer. Because a computer wrote that, not a person. No human being thought up or wrote what I just read to you. A human being simply entered certain prompts into an AI program to demonstrate the ability to simply use Gen AI to create something. And in this case, the human gave ChatGPT, which is a text program, two prompts or commands. It told the program, define artificial intelligence and generative artificial intelligence and explain how it can be used for good or bad. And that's what came out. Think about that. See, the reason why I'm using these examples of email hacking or AI in my introduction today in this new series called Distinguish, it's not because I'm against AI or I'm against using email. Of course not. It's because there's a thin line between good and evil. There's a thin line between what is real and what is artificial. And there's deception not only in the world of technology, but let me give you a newsflash, and I'm really sorry to tell you this, but there's deception in the world of spirituality. And I believe that we're in a day and we're in an age where we will need to be more keenly aware and have a sharper eye to discern between what is true and what is artificial in the days to come as the days get darker until Jesus returns. And we're seeing this in politics. We're seeing it in law. We're seeing it in arts and entertainment. We're seeing it in the financial sector. We're seeing it in religion. And as noted in the world of technology, between conspiracy theories, doctored videos, sensationalized media, hype, and racial polarization and cultural divisions, our need to lean on the Spirit of God is greater now than I've ever known in my life, and that's just in my humble opinion. But listen, friends, this is not just a case of technology. This is also in the case of theology and spirituality. People are twisting scriptures and bending them to mean whatever is profitable for their lifestyles, their bank accounts, or their fleshly desires. Did you know that artificial intelligence can take the voice of the person sitting next to you right now and make it sound just like them on your voicemail, instructing them to meet you at the Starbucks down the street? My family and I have a word that we all use as a safe code to make sure that it is really Dad who's speaking to you. And that's important. I would say, I don't know if you want to make that a practical application, but in your family, is there one word that only the family would know so that you can always test it? You know, when I first went to Saudi Arabia, they made us sign some paperwork before we could ever go into the country, before we even left the U.S. And one of the things that we had to sign was, it's going to sound crazy, but like a death certificate. Permission for them to kill me if I broke certain laws, Islamic laws in their country. And they had some very, very specific laws. When we went to Beirut, Lebanon, and Janice and a few other people that were with me could tell you this from people on my team, they did a security briefing meeting with us. And they said, when we asked the question, what shoes should we wear tomorrow? I mean, I don't think I asked that question, but Janice wears heels, so I think she wanted to know, you know. But the ladies want to know, like, what are we going to wear? Guess what they said? Wear tennis shoes in case you need to run. I was like, what? All right, then. Can they be Air Force Ones? I mean, I don't know what you wear, you know, when you're about to get killed. But anyway, you want to look good when you get killed, right? So they then asked us about security questions. What one question could prove that you are alive, proof of life? So if you were taken and you were talking to your family or you saw some video of me or something like that saying some crazy stuff, and they say, yeah, he's alive, that's what he said. Well, there is a question that you could ask to know, yep, that was really David. And when you think about that, these are scenarios where they're trying to determine whether something is real or whether something is deceptive. So if Amber or the government were to ask, what's David's favorite food? If they come back and say okra, I'm dead, because that ain't me. I don't care if it sound like me, if it look like me, if it stands like me. If they come back with okra, y'all know. I'm just saying. You have to have insights on how do you tell what's real and what's not, because there's a lot of things out there that are not real. And friends, I'm telling you similarly. Our enemy, the devil, lurks in the realm of the artificial all day long. Jesus even said that lying is his native language. Satan is the greatest hacker of all. Jesus puts it like this in John 8. He says, why is my language not clear to you, Jesus says? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So you see, this series for the next few weeks, including today, is trying to help you learn to discern between what is real and what is artificial. And you will need the spirit of discernment in the next, you know, I think, age here from these coming days. And I believe that God has assigned me to bring this to your attention, Please repeat after me right now. Here we go. Lord, please give me a spirit of discernment. One more time at OMR. You ready? Lord, please give me a spirit of discernment. Last time at home. Lord, please give me a spirit of discernment. This is what I want you to pray when your intuition is on alert. It's a practical application early in the message. Whenever you need it, Lord, please give me a spirit of discernment right now. You know, several weeks ago, I preached from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I talked about these two lies that the Apostle Paul, who was writing, debunked. One, that you aren't needed, and two, that you don't belong. And the truth is, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you've been born again, then we're all needed, and we all belong to God and to one another. Well, in the same passage, 1 Corinthians 12, it also talks about the spiritual gifts. And in this sermon, I want to highlight one of those spiritual gifts that's found in 1 Corinthians 12:10, and it's the spirit of discernment. Now, to give you context, I'm going to start reading at verse 7 and take you to verse 11. So go with me now, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. And this is what Paul writes. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given the Spirit. To one is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, here it is, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in a different in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same what? Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So in this passage, we see that the Spirit is mentioned in every single sentence in line with the spiritual gifts, that all of the spiritual gifts are mentioned. They're being distributed by the same Spirit. And so is true with the gift of discernment, which we find in verse 10, and that's what I want to highlight. You know, we all have these differing gifts and abilities. If you're in the body of Christ, God has given you a spiritual gift. He may have given you two or three spiritual gifts. That's what our SHAPE seminar is all about. It kind of helps you discern which gifts are not for you and what gifts are something that God has given you. And when we say spiritual gifts, a divine enablement, a special anointing in that particular skill area or talent area that God just fires up and people can recognize it as God uses it. And so the spiritual gift of discernment is one of those gifts. But what about those of us who do not have the gift? What are we supposed to do? Well, for the rest of the message, what I want to do is talk about three things to understand and three things to know that will help you discern between truth and error. So whether you have the spiritual gift or not, you'll have the ability to think more critically about what you're facing and what's facing you. Three things to understand and three things to know that will help you discerning between truth and error. Here's the first thing to understand. Understand that many of the spiritual gifts are spiritual practices commanded elsewhere in Scripture. I think this is important because sometimes people are like, well, that ain't my gift. Well, just because it's not your gift doesn't mean it shouldn't be your practice. Just because you don't have the spiritual gift, in other places in the Scripture, it tells us we need to develop these attributes and these qualities. And just because you don't have the gift of wisdom or discernment or knowledge, it doesn't mean that you're not supposed to strive to have those qualities. Other gifts like mercy and leadership and teaching and helps may all be spiritual gifts, but it should all be our spiritual practice. You find those gifts as commands in other parts of Scripture. We're taught to be merciful, even though it's a gift. We're taught to teach others, even though teaching is a gift. We're taught to serve and to be helpful, even though help is a gift. We're taught to lead others by our example, even though leadership is a gift. We're taught to be wise, even though wisdom is a gift. And in addition, we're instructed to be discerning and to use discernment, even though it's a gift. So that's the first thing I want you to understand. The second thing I want you to understand is that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the gift that God gives every believer. Let me say it again. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the gift that God gives every believer. In other words, He's the gift. Don't seek the spiritual gift. Seek the gift of the Spirit. Seek Him. The Spirit of God is given to every believer. So seek Him. He's the gift to us, who then distributes the spiritual gifts to each one of us. Sometimes when we talk about spiritual gifts, we forget that the gift to the church is the Holy Spirit. So in a sense, we all have the same Spirit, which then distributes different gifts. That's why Jesus said before He left in John 14, 16 through 18, He says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is a gift that comes from Almighty God. Seek Him. Jesus also says in John 14, verses 25 through 26, in the same chapter, before He's going to be, crucified, He says, "All of this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said." You know, the Holy Spirit can be a reminder. It'd be really good to say, "Holy Spirit, please help remind me. Remind me of what I need to know when I get in crazy land." Anybody ever been in crazy land? Crazy land is when your mind goes crazy. Anybody? Look to your neighbor and say, "You ever been in crazy land?" Say, "Oh yeah, of course you have, because I was there when living with you." No, seriously, don't say that. But crazy land is that place where your mind just goes wacko, right? And this is where you need the Holy Spirit. There's a Holy Spirit. "Please remind me what I need to know. Remind me of the scripture I need to hold on to. Remind me of in the midst of difficulties, you can give me peace." Holy Spirit. That's why coming to church today and just being able to feel the presence of God, be at the altar, be before the Lord, it kind of recalibrates your whole, it's like a chiropractic adjustment spiritually, isn't it? I mean, some of you come into church all like this, "Praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, oh, hallelujah." And all of a sudden you start singing hallelujah, you start raising your hand, and your foot, "Oh, I got a cramp right there." And you just, before you know it, your back is straight, you get up from the altar, your shoulders are back, and you're going to walk away from this place and you just realize that God reminded me that I'm not going to kill that person I was thinking about killing when I was leaving here. I was not going to lay out this person I was going to lay out. But because all of a sudden I started singing hallelujah and oh, God was doing something and taking my spirit and moving it out of crazy land into being straight before Almighty God. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit can be a helper, can be a reminder, can be a counselor, can be a teacher, can be a comforter? The Holy Spirit is the gift to the church. Here's the third thing I want you to understand. Understand that the Holy Spirit is the giver of spiritual gifts and can distribute to whoever and whenever He wants. Now, at first, this may seem like a big duh, but don't fall asleep on me on this implication. Because if the Holy Spirit is the distributor of gifts, then He can give you the gift anytime and whenever He pleases. I mean, how is this possible? It's possible because the gift giver lives inside of you. Remember, we said it's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So in the moment that you need the Holy Spirit to be active, he can come alive and begin to manifest himself in a way that you need it. But he can also distribute a spiritual gift to you in that moment. So while you may have a resident spiritual gift, there's nowhere in scripture that says God can't give you another one in this moment because you need it right now. So what happens is we can lock in on the gifts that we have, which is good. But if you're not careful, we can actually leave out the Holy Spirit who's saying, yes, that may be the resident gift that I gave you, but right now the gift that you need more than anything else is the gift of discernment or the gift of teaching. But I'm not a teacher. No, you're not. But when the Holy Spirit touches you, all of a sudden you can become one. And so I think it's important for us to understand this. It's important for us to understand that when we need a certain gift, all we have to do is ask God. And what he may do even as a church, God, please, we need these spiritual gifts. He may bring people who have those gifts. Or he may give it to you in the moment that you need it most. You may not be a leader, but you've been put into a leadership position. Ask God, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, lead through me today. Whether or not you have the spiritual gift to discern spirits, I want to take time in the series and in today's talk to help you become more discerning. And one of the ways that I think about this, as I do everything when it comes to my illustrations, is food. Sometimes I'll open the refrigerator and there'll be something in there that's like a leftover. And I'll say to my wife, Amber, hey, baby, sweetie, is this dish still good? Anybody ever ask, is this dish still good? And her response is, well, smell it or taste it. There are times when I have eaten something and it didn't quite taste right. So can I ask you a question? Why'd I keep eating it? It went bad. And I'm saying, baby, are you sure that this is good? But I ate it anyway, paid for it dearly later. There was a steakhouse that we went to, a team meeting, and we were on the Eastern Shore. I won't name the steakhouse. I usually enjoy a good steak, but this steak just didn't smell right. It didn't taste right. After a couple of bites, I asked the people around me, I said, is your steak, like, is something weird with your steak? And they said, let me taste yours, let me smell yours. And they did, and they said, something's wrong with this. Went back and talked to the management, and sure enough, something was wrong with it. They apologized. But the next morning, all of us who were all together on this retreat, many of us got sick. So we called them back, and we said, listen, you need to figure out if all your other meat is bad, because this was terrible. And the person said, yeah, you know, the packages were open before they came. We're like, well, thanks for testing us. What's wrong with you people? And they're like, well, we'll give you a gift certificate. And I think they gave all of us a gift certificate. I'm going to be dead from your meat before I could ever use that. But how much is the gift certificate? You know, it was like $50. I ain't going to cut it for this, but you know. Anyway, what am I saying? You know, my wife would be like in the past, she'd be like, man, David, if it tasted funny, why did you eat it anyway? I'm sitting there chewing like, I don't know. It tastes bad. She goes, well, you ought to throw it away. Well, the Bible said, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, many of us have tasted and seen that not all in the world is good. Some things spoil. My mama used to always say, she still says, David, you can't believe everything you hear, son. Sometimes you gotta eat the meat and throw away the bones. Have y'all ever heard that before? Some people can't tell the difference between the meat and the bones. See, throwing away the bones takes discernment. Sometimes what happens is you can even have something that's good, but it spoils over time. For the remainder of my message, I wanna give you some tips then that can help you discern whether something is good or bad. Some things were good, but they became stale. Some things were good, but they became spoiled. They were good at one time, but because they were not preserved properly, they've gone bad. And maybe there's some traditions that are that way. Maybe there's some things in your culture that are that way. You know, just because you're from a particular culture doesn't mean that everything from that culture is good. You got to be authentic and honest about your culture. Just because you come from a good family, that doesn't mean everything from your family is good. There may be some things in your family that you learn that don't square with the Word of God. Some things in the faith that you grew up in or the church you grew up in, even if it says Christian, that you realize the more you're mature that this ain't of God. And you only can think like this if you truly have the discernment of the Spirit. And so let me give you these three tips that I hope will be helpful to you. Tip number one, know that the truth is a person. Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the truth. This means that if anyone is saying anything that does not look like, smell like, sound like, agree with the teachings of and the Spirit of Jesus, walk away. Jesus' teachings are the plumb line, and Jesus' life is the plumb line for all truth. If Jesus is for it, I'm for it. If Jesus is not for it, I'm not for it. Jesus said this in Matthew 24:5, for many will come in my name, claiming that the email is from me. No, I'm just kidding. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, the Christ, and will deceive many. In fact, he says in Matthew 7, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Verse 17, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. The reality is that we have to put on our thinking caps. We have to put on our discernment to be able to see the thin line between good and evil. And three lies that hack people's spiritual email that are not sent from God, I'm going to tell you one of them. The universe is God. The universe is not God. God is not the universe. God created the universe. Don't believe that lie. Secondly, here's another hacked email from the scripture. All religions lead to God. That's a hack, y'all. It may have his name on it, but look at the email. Look at the scripture. It's just not true. All roads don't lead to God. All religions don't lead to the same God. They may lead to a God, but it ain't the God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, listen, all roads lead to Jesus, but all roads don't lead to God. So many of you came to Jesus a different way. Some came through drug addiction. Some came from the streets. Some came through religion. Some came through trauma in their life. There are many testimonies in this place, all over the place, all there at OMR, all there at home, all here in Columbia. We all have different ways that we got to Jesus, but Jesus is the only way to God, the Father. So all religions don't lead to God. Here's a third one and final one when it comes to the lies that people hack. Like a spiritual email from God's word, but it's just not true. The universe is God. All religions lead to God. Here's the third and final one I'll give you before I move to the second tip, and that is this. Love is love. Now, I know you're not going to like this one, but I hope you love me anyway. Love is love. It's a nice saying. But friends, there's no way in the scripture says love is love. It's kind of like a duh, of course love is love. But the scripture says God is love. Some people are more in love with love than they are with the God of love. They're more in love with the idea of love based on their own human definitions and feelings than the actual God who is love, who tells you what love is. The idea of human love has become their idol. There's a thin line, friends, between good and evil. And just because it says love in the name of the email doesn't mean it's love from God. God is love. The idea of love is a beautiful thing. But if the idea of love that's a beautiful thing is based on my human definitions and my human feelings, then guess what? I'm God. But if I want to know who love is and what love is, then I look to God. Some people are just so in love with the idea of love. Man, God is love. And he tells us how he loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that he came into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. All right, y'all ready for tip number two? Before I go too far on that, go ahead and send me your emails. I hope they get hacked. Okay, here we go. Here's the second one. Know that good and evil are in close proximity. Remember what Paul said in Romans 7? So I find this law at work. The more, when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. There's a close proximity between good and evil. Does anybody know what Paul's talking about? You want to do good, you try to do good, but evil is right there, close proximity. And we see it all throughout Scripture, even Jesus in the desert. Who was he talking to being tempted by? He was tempted by Satan. Listen, they knew each other for a long time. It wasn't like a first meeting, a chance meeting. Oh my gosh, you're Satan. No, Jesus is having a conversation with another being that he had known in eternity past. He headed the choir. He was the archangel. They knew each other for a long time. They've had many conversations. So I want you to see that while Jesus is being tempted, the reality is he's not tempted by this spooky devil. It's like they know each other. Come on, man, you know, if you're supposed to be like the Lord and the Messiah and all that, just jump off the building. You know what? Just turn those stones into bread. Prove to everybody. Come on, man. And he's like, now you know it's written right. I mean, maybe they don't talk like that with that inflection, but when I put my imagination to it, it's like it is written, man should not live by bread alone. They're having a conversation, but look how close good and evil is. What about Adam and Eve? Where was the tree in the garden? Was the tree all the way out there at the edge of like Garrett County, Maryland? That's pretty much the edge, right? I mean, you know, right? No. Out of all the places that the tree that you're not supposed to eat because of good knowledge and evil, like, where is it? It's right in the center of the garden. Do not eat from it. What? And yet, they're having a conversation. I know we get mad at Eve, but Eve's literally talking to the animals, but that's what they did. They talked to animals. Animals talked to them. It wasn't that big of a deal. And they're right there by the tree. And she hands the fruit over to her husband. And again, oh, Adam should have been a better leader. Yeah, probably should have been. And Eve was so deceived that she shouldn't have did this in the first place. Yeah, you're probably true about that too. But at the end of the day, think about it. They never had a fight. They were naked, intimate, hanging with each other in paradise. Never had conflict. So what's going to make them be like, yeah, she's going to try to kill us all? Good and evil, real close. I'm not saying that, you know, we should be comfortable with evil. I'm saying we should be honest enough to understand that it's not just a red devil somewhere with pointy ears, making it everything in our life so obvious. I mean, what about Job? Next week, I'm going to preach about Job when we talk about seeing through your problems. We'll preach and teach about Job's problems, but I just need you to know, guess where that entire scenario started? It wasn't with Job. It was God and Satan in heaven talking. And God's the one who brought it up. Hey, you consider my man Job? It's a thin line between love and hate. I mean, it's a thin line between good and evil. They're in close proximity. We just simply need to know this. It's not always going to be this way, because when we get to heaven, there'll never be this conflict again. Let me give you the third tip. Know that people are spiritual beings in fleshly bodies. See, the truth is beyond what people present to you. I mean, people present themselves as we present ourselves this morning. But there's something that's truer than what we present as human beings. People don't always show you the real them. And I'm not even sure that I want you to show me the real you. And I don't want to show you all the real me. The reality is, none of us would show up to church if the real us showed up. And when you're dating, someone said that you're just getting to know the real person, and a few dates is not enough, because when they first start with you, they're just sending their representative. I mean, it takes discernment to see beyond those long, artificial, intelligent lashes that are batting at you. I'm just saying, man, those eyelashes so long, she about to fly away. Slim don't need no wings. She got super wings. I mean, they just, seriously, though. Seriously, though, man. You need some discernment, man. You'd be like, the date's over, and she just fly away. You'd be like, what the? Oh, how am I going to preach this, Lord, at 11 o'clock? Give me discernment right now. I'm going to try to come to a close with some more scripture, but you just got to rely on the Holy Spirit to help guide you, because the natural realm is one realm, but there's a spiritual realm that you do not see that can be invisible, and that's what I'm talking about here. 1 John 4:1 says this, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Listen, I am not trying to preach this message to scare anybody here at church today. It just is my assignment to make you aware that we're in the last days, and these coming voices that continue to come up on our feeds will be coming to you. And it's my responsibility and an assignment to warn you and to equip you. I can't be there with you. You can't be there with me. This is what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit is also and always with you and with me, regardless of whether we're with one another. So that's why we have to stop ignoring the Holy Spirit and begin inviting him to give us the spirit of discernment. And every other spirit that you see is not always a good spirit. That's why my spirit has to testify with your spirit that you're a child of God. 1 John 4:2 and 3 says, "This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world." We're in the last days, and the Holy Spirit is ready to move through the church. We have no reason to be scared. We just have to be set apart. We just have to allow God to use us to demonstrate to the world a city set on a hill, a light in darkness. This is our moment. This is not the time to run and be scared. This is not the time to curse every other religion. This is the time to show up and allow God to show out. And the Spirit says that the Spirit himself will testify with our spirit that we're God's children and that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But God has given you a spirit that is greater than the spirit that's in the world. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I'm not afraid of any other spirit. I just got to ask God's spirit to give me the discernment so I know what to rebuke, when to rebuke it, what to believe, when to believe it, what to say, what not to say. And when you start talking crazy, I need to leave crazy land, because that's not Jesus. It don't smell like Jesus. It don't look like Jesus. Jesus never said it. Jesus didn't walk that way. Jesus didn't talk that way. I don't care whether you say you're a Christian or not. That's no longer the definition. I'm a Christian so I can marry you. No, you may be a Christian and I may be a Christian, but guess what? I'm surrendered and you're not. So we're not equally yoked. There's got to be a point. There's got to be a point. When the Holy Spirit begins to move in your life, where you say, my spirit ain't testifying with that. And listen, God has given you an intuition. This is the time to use it. When you begin to feel that uncomfortable sense inside of you, don't shut it down. It's like, I don't even know why I feel this way about them. Let me tell you something. Women, they got the, I need to close, but hold up, y'all. Okay, let me close this. Let me get this away. In fact, right about now, you ought to take me off the stage. No, seriously, we'll close down. Women have an uncanny sense of intuition. Amber and I celebrate next week, only by God's grace, 32 years of marriage. She should receive an award and a trophy. There's no way Amber and I should still be married. But God is a redeemer. He's a restorer. And baby, if you're watching, you know I love you, right? Okay, but I can tell you now that I did not listen to Amber's intuition because I thought I knew better. And a lot of men are in trouble that they're in because they're not listening to the women who have this sixth sense about them. Now, it's not just women that have it. God has given all of us a conscience, and God has given all of us intuition. But here's the thing. Your spirit can connect with the intuition to let you know that something's not right before your natural eye can see it. So this is why when your intuition comes up, you ask the Spirit, what I said earlier, the Holy Spirit, give me discernment. And then when he connects with your intuition, follow that, even if you don't see the evidence of it in the physical realm. Because there's the spiritual realm, and then there's the physical realm. And usually what happens is it's revealed in the spiritual realm first before it's manifested in the physical realm. So don't wait for the physical before you make a decision, or else by the time you make the decision, it's too late. Then you make the decision and then you say, man, that was a bad decision. And if someone says, why do you make it? And you guess what they say? Well, you know, I knew that even before he walked down the aisle, he wasn't the guy for me, but like, I don't know. So they have it, they just ignore it. What I'm saying is no longer will we ignore the Holy Spirit. We're going to invite him to help us in the natural realm by connecting with him in the spiritual realm. And all of God's people at Bridgeway said, amen, amen and amen.